If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the most radiant one. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Tonight our seminar topic is our expanding multi-dimensional creativity. So let's start with taking an integrative breath and call yourself forward multi-dimensionally. See yourself as an extending continuum of divine creative intelligence, of wisdom, power, and love, of perfect divine will, manifesting through every level of your being. And we ask that the highest rate and highest good for each of our listeners be set according to your soul's contract and your preference as soul. And allow that sensation of goosebumps, of hot cascading warm honey flowing down over the top of your head and down your shoulders and arms. It tends to feel hot, and sometimes it causes your body to rock back and forward. That's the anointing of the Divine Spirit as it makes contact and integration with your electromagnetic field. That's how it interacts, the positive energy with the negative receptive field in the lower worlds. Become accustomed to flowing with that. Always pause before you speak, before you do anything that is intentional with Divine Spirit. And call that forward, evoke it. Call it into your levels very intentionally. And I find taking a deep breath causes that integration to occur very simply and naturally. So let's take another deep intentional breath and integrate your multidimensional awareness and activate greater awareness of your creative outreach. So, in what ways are you currently aware that you're expressing your creativity? You know, you start with your personal life. You know, you always start with here and now, physical enchilada here. And then you begin to expand that sense of self to include more and more. But the creative expression becomes very unique the more you integrate and become truly who you are as a cosmic individual. You become a one-of, very unique expression of the one divine source. So let me ask you, have you ever encountered something that you've created upon another level, say for example, the astral plane? And are you aware that as an initiate, you are becoming increasingly creative on the inner levels of consciousness? You know, eventually that's going to enable you to operate in more than one place and more than one body at the same time, and with full conscious awareness. In fact, the Chiliocosm, as Dr. Hertak calls it, the thousand-petaled lotus of time that we are currently inhabiting, we have the ultimate potential of being able to manifest in 9 bodies and 9 time cells at the same time. The old cycle, there was 3, the trinitized expression. So we're moving into an extenuation of all of our creative potentials and abilities as we advance into this new paradigm, this new heavens that we are spiraling into as a creation. So it's pretty exciting. What's the purpose? Well, the school of Earth is a school of consciousness for evolving souls. The purpose of the curriculum is to train conscious cosmic co-workers. So the trials and tribulations of Earth life enable the individualized soul to gain experience, to expand awareness, and to acquire self-mastery. And toward this objective, we began by learning to take responsibility for what we set in motion upon every level of our expression. And through many trials and just as many, if not more, errors, we learn to be responsible creators on a personal level and to eventually co-create in harmonious accord with the divine creative flow of the cosmos itself. So we become creative agents through which the will of God becomes actualized throughout creation. I think that's really, at least to me, a very inspiring thought to hold. Because we're not moving into nothingness. There is a divine plan and an entire grouping of multidimensional agencies of many, many different levels of evolving life forms that are all co-participatory in ongoing creation. And I find that thrilling. So, we develop spiritually as we exercise our creativity, and we develop spiritual awareness as we take the time to be with ourselves. You know, your own self is as far as you need to go to learn about the cosmos, God, ongoing life. Everything is simply imprinted within your microcosmic self. That is to unfold in the macrocosm. You are a many in one and a one within the manyness of the one that is. So as you study yourself, as you take the time to look inwardly, to sense inwardly, to be aware outwardly of the effects that you're having on your environment, of observing yourself in that neutral position of just looking to see what's there without judging or critiquing or even evaluating. You just look. You become aware of the self that you are. And you begin to awaken beyond the personal to the transpersonal. You begin to awaken to other levels in which you have a life as vivid, as vital, in fact, even more so, I think, on those levels than it is in the physical. But it's only by being truly present here and now that you begin to peek above into those higher levels. In other words, you don't escape the here and now to move into those levels. You don't depart the world. You expand beyond the world. But include the world in that expansion. So that you begin to erase that sense of difference and separation between the inner and the outer, that which is above and that which is below. You begin to expand to where it becomes an inclusive synthesis that you just call ongoing life eternal. Because you are in that eternal life that's ever expanding right now. You don't die to get there. You don't leave the earth to ascend. The ascension is entirely a matter of the inner consciousness, the raising of the awareness to embrace of more and more of your wholeness and your holiness. So the whole idea of leaving the earth in some sort of a departure scenario is really wishful thinking on the part of humanity. And it also makes people very unhappy and very discontent because they're always trying to escape that which is to that which could be. And you know what? It's never going to be until you move into your own being, your own divine bliss of beingness itself. So, every contact with our higher levels of awareness activates and brings forward more creative access. In other words, more of us comes online. We download more spiritual apps and software. How do you like that analogy? More toys to play with. And the spiritual software we are downloading at this time is multidimensional. And I believe that we're all scrambling to find out how to operate our new systems. And every advancing light worker that I know is initiating into new levels and totally new reference points. And that would be the positive way of referring to your current state of being nowhere and no thing. So make your descriptives work for you in a positive way. Make it, you know, make it somewhere and something glorious that is just in process of being revealed to you. That's a way to make things work for your advancement rather than to your disempowerment. Watch how you language what you're feeling and experiencing at this time, because you can just as well manifest the bliss of becoming greater rather than labeling it in some negative way that drops your energy into a place you really don't want to have to be accountable for dealing with. So practice positive, responsible, creative expression in how you speak, how you describe what you're going through at this time, and make it glorious. It's your box of crayons. Color it beautiful. So just as sunlight follows the dawn, so does creative expression follow the dawning of greater spiritual integration, greater spiritual actualization, and greater spiritual inclusiveness of more and more of who and what you are eternally, right down into the cells of this physical body. Isn't that beautiful? So, I would say probably the very first indication that man is moving beyond the brute to becoming a true human being is some form of creative initiative that person begins to take. This initial stirring awake of the dormant spiritual nature will manifest in some way as a desire to rearrange or bring order into one's surroundings. The awareness of one's environment begins to develop. And with that, one begins to take note of and to care about the effect one has on that environment. If you notice, people who are not awake spiritually are virtually unconscious of their effect on their environment. They're unconscious of beauty, and they're insensitive to anything beyond, as the Master Moria would say, the daily gruel. So now, with the beauties of the internet and global communication and networks, for the first time, humanity is developing en masse a global consciousness, a global awareness. We're able to look into the farthermost reaches of the cosmos for the first time in human history and to see our planet as a small, beautiful blue jewel that it is, floating in the immensity of space. We're able to get some sense of context of the immensity of what we're part of. And I believe this could serve as a great sense of inspiration and empowerment rather than making you feel small and insignificant. Think of yourself as part of something that God is doing through you and through each and every soul. We're part of this entire process of ever-unfolding divine creative expression. So as our awareness expands, we become sensitive to color. Remember just 100 or so years back, there was hardly any color on the planet. Everybody wore drab something. And then just, 20, 30 years ago, color seemed to appear everywhere. You know, our white underwear suddenly appeared in fuchsia and purple. And I remember back in the 60s, if you go and try to buy a purple shirt for a man, people give you kind of a funny look because they didn't even have such a thing, much less, you know, purple Speedos. So the very sensitivity to color and texture and patterns and architecture and how we decorate our homes, how we dress. I love the diversity that we have here and the way we adorn our bodies today. I love the different looks that we can adopt. But this is all part of the awakening of a greater sensitivity to that creative individuality that is seeking expression through us. So beauty itself and this sensitivity to what is greater actually becomes as vital to one's well-being as nourishing food. And that's why many artists become so absorbed in their creative expression that they'll forget to eat and they'll lose all sense of time. Gosh, the times I have sat down in the morning to check my email and all of a sudden the writing muse is upon me and the next thing I know it's dark and time to go to bed. And I haven't moved from my desk and had no sense of the passage of time because I was so absorbed in writing, which is something I love to do. So when you're really in that creative mode, you transcend the world and the physical body and every pull that the lower nature would make on you, and you become the fulfilling of a divine creative impetus. And that's spiritually nourishing and vitalizing. And you'll never find yourself getting tired or drained, at least I don't, when I'm in that creative mood and mode. Maybe when the energy lifts, yeah. But certainly not when you're in that process. So spiritual energy can actually be absorbed like food. And that's why you hear of saints and yogis and breatharians who can live and maintain health and vitality without eating or even in some cases without drinking water. And these individuals have developed the ability to absorb nourishment directly from the prana, the creative life force energy itself. In fact, there's a remote Tibetan monastery called Agam Des. And within that grouping of monks, there's a group of adepts called the Eshwar Kaniwalis. which means the God eaters. And they are sustained by this spiritual life essence. So, I'm just sharing this because I'd like to give you a sense that the creative energy of Divine Spirit is vitalizing and nourishing and revivifying and rejuvenating. If you want to stay young and vibrant and healthy, express, allow that greater source to source through you. Keeps you young, keeps you vital, keeps your mind sharp. You know, the Course in Miracles puts it very simply. I am sustained by the love of God. And all true creative expression is always born of love. You know, even in the physical act of conceiving a child that is conceived in an act of love will have a greater vitality imparted to it than one that is simply conceived in lust. So, I think we could draw a connection here between something creatively birthed from our higher states of awareness and that which simply comes from the lower states of consciousness. And it's this very impartation of higher states of consciousness into any creative expression or work of art that gives it its enduring value and appeal. In fact, I think creative genius without some degree of spiritual integration really is impossible. Your soul, by its very nature, is creative. You know, soul is an extension of God. And we're made in that image and likeness of our Creator as creative spirits. So, the senses that you have, the five senses, keep expanding to enable you to access more and more refined levels of awareness. And I'd like to share something with you. And before I do, I want you to relax. You don't have to take notes. You don't have to remember what I'm saying. I'm sharing this for one reason, to give you an expanded awareness of how we go from just our five physical senses into their expression at ever more refined levels. I'm going to be sharing this from the book by the Tibetan master Joel Kuhl, written in conjunction with his amanuensis, Alice Bailey. The title of the book is A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, and I'm reading from page 188 and 189. Okay, we have five physical senses of hearing, touch and feeling, sight, taste, and smell. Those five senses become, on the astral plane, our hearing becomes clairaudience. Our sense of touch and feeling becomes psychometry. Our sight becomes clairvoyance. Our taste becomes imagination. Our smell becomes emotional idealism. Now, expanding to the next level, our five senses on the mental plane become, hearing becomes higher clairvoyance, touch becomes planetary psychometry. There are some of you earth-sensitives hearing this. Your sight becomes higher clairvoyance. Your taste becomes discrimination. And your smell on the mental plane becomes spiritual discernment and response to group vibration and spiritual telepathy. This is where you become an outpost of your inner plane ashrams that we were speaking about one or two seminars back. You begin to discern the collective consciousness of the ashram and the master in whose group you are serving as a disciple. Now, upon the buddhic or soul plane, your hearing becomes comprehension. Your sense of touch becomes healing. The soul is a natural healer. Your sight becomes divine vision. Your taste becomes intuition. And your smell becomes idealism. But here, it's not emotional idealism like on the astral plane. It becomes the ability to embody the ideal, you know, to integrate and walk out soul awareness very consciously, which you are aware of. It's a familiar theme that we have in our seminars here. Okay, on the plane of the Atma, or pure spirit, your hearing becomes beatitude. I have to talk about that a little bit, because the beatitude they're talking about is the bliss that one experiences in the sound current when you're absorbed in divine ecstasy. It's not emotional. In fact, it's very quiet and still. But you become one with the living word of God, the Ek, or the Shabd, or the Dunamik, the divine sound current of God. And that's your hearing at the plane of pure spirit, or Atma. Your touch, or feeling, becomes active service. In other words, your very response at all times is service in action. But without a doer, you become the active service itself, selflessly given, without self-reference. And your sense of sight at the plane of the Atma becomes realization. This is that self-realization, or that God-realization, where you awaken and know yourself as that. Your taste on the plane of the Atma becomes perfection. And your smell on the plane of Atma, your sense of smell, becomes all-knowingness. That's your omniscience, where you can move your spiritual inner awareness and know all things. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And then the Master Jewel Cool on the next page brings a tabulation of each sense individually in the order of their expansion. So I'll share that with you too, because I think it's very awareness edifying. So your first sense of hearing in progression of expansion goes from physical hearing to clairaudience, to higher clairaudience. What would that be like? Well, I experience it as the ability to know and hear in the same time without thinking, without channeling, without any kind of outsourcing. I simply move my awareness and hear, know, know, hear. Yeah, you don't actually hear a voice. It's you just know. Then you move from that higher clairaudience to comprehension, and from the comprehension to the beatitude, which again is being absorbed in the divine sound of God, sound current or the pranava, the om or the hu. Your second sense of touch or feeling goes from physical touch to psychometry, to planetary psychometry, to healing, to active service. The third sense of sight expands from physical sight to clairvoyance, to higher clairvoyance. And here I'd have to call that mental clairvoyance, where you see through the inner awareness, but you're not seeing the vivid imagery like you would from the astral lower clairvoyance, which actually all animals have that ability to see auras and colors and things of that nature. We're talking about a mental level of that inner seership. And then it goes from the higher clairvoyance to divine vision and to realization. When you're in a state of that divine realization, there's no externalizing at all. You simply know that you know, and you embody that knowing. And then your fourth sense of taste goes from physical taste to imagination, to discrimination, to intuition, to perfection. And finally, your fifth sense of smell expands from physical smell to emotional idealism, to spiritual discernment, to idealism, to direct knowing. All knowing. Pretty cool, don't you think? I like the fact that there's always a plus, etc. element in spiritual life. That's why you really, really need to learn to enjoy and appreciate the journey, because it's eternally traveling consciousness without a period at the end. Eternally traveling consciousness. So our challenge is to become more awakened and more consciously aware of those levels. And again, it starts right where you are. Becoming more aware, for example, of where you're sitting, how your body is positioned, what it feels like, the sensations of the breath and the heartbeat and the pranic flows coursing through your physical body, the vitality and tingling in your feet, your hands. Or you feel pressure where the chair is meeting your bottom, the sounds outside, the heat coming from your candle or your lamp or whatever you have near your body. Being aware of your effect as you walk through a room. Being aware of the people in the room. You can use every single day as a spiritual exercise in expanding your greater conscious awareness. And what blocks that for a lot of people is a dismissive disregard for the physical planet. They don't want to be here, because in truth, they've never really been here. If you ever fully come present here, you will fall in love with everything your eyes fall upon, and you won't have any thought of being anywhere else, because you'll be in the fullness of your love. And wherever that's present, you're with God and you're in heaven. But if you're resisting your life, your job, your spouse, your friends, the neighbors in the next apartment, the noise downstairs, if you're in any form of againstness or resistance, then you're not in that love. You're in againstness, you're in avoiding, you're in denial. Whenever you shut down and deny any part of you, you close down part of your divine expansion of creative awareness. Sometimes you see that with people, they get so anal retentive about spirituality that they can't sit down and enjoy a good steak. They think it's somehow, you know, a horrible act to sit down and just eat a good meal, good old American Western meal. They think if it isn't, you know, beans and something raw, that they're going to go to hell in a handbasket. Or they get real prissy about sexuality. I'll tell you, the closest thing you're ever going to get to nervi kalpa samadhi and the physical body is a good orgasm. You know, where the top of your head blows off. I tell you the truth. Don't avoid life if you want to know God. Because God is in every single molecule of life, in every act, in every expression. There's nothing you can do and nowhere you can go that God isn't there in the middle of it. What do you think gives the energy for any expression to arise? So live life. Eat the cookie, buy the shoes, as Joyce Meyer likes to say. Eat the cookie, buy the shoes, smell the roses, smile, lighten up, enjoy the parade. Sai Baba calls life down here a three-day fair, a carnival. Enjoy it. You know, just look at the sights, ride the rides, eat the cotton candy. Don't sweat the small stuff. But while you're doing all that, seek for evidences of the divine. Everywhere you look, there is something noteworthy and beautiful. There is something that will reveal the face of God if you look at it through divine sincerity. When you look at things sincerely, just to see what's there, without trying to manipulate or shift or change or do any kind of mood making, just enjoy it for what it is. Let it be what it is. The minute you try to change your nature and to import someone else's idea of what you're expected to be, the minute you try to pretzel yourself unnaturally to fit anyone else's agenda, you've sold out. You've lost contact with your true creative nature. If you leave yourself alone and just become more aware of who you are, what you are, where you are, how you are, what you're expressing, the thoughts in your mind, the things you're saying, just kick back and look at yourself as if you were an actor in a play. Just really detached, neutral. And let your own nature be revealed to you. You will not want to mess with yourself if you get one small glimpse of your majesty. You know, the great master Sri Ramakrishna was so divinely filled with the awareness of the divine in all things that he actually could not tell the difference between a picture of the divine mother and his own picture. They were the same to him. You know, he could worship either one with total absorption, having lost all sense of differentiation. You know, the more you awaken to the God within you, the more that is all you're going to notice around you. So your very vision and what you choose to make real in the outer world is actually a mirror of what you're making real in your own self. So paint it beautiful. Paint it divine. Evoke every particle, as the Master Moria would say. Learn to evoke the particles of perfection. Out of every moment, you can call forward chaos or perfection. Learn to evoke every particle of goodness, perfection, beauty, holiness, goodness, out of every encounter with life. And yeah, sure, the other things are there. You will see them for a time. In fact, Sai Baba was talking to us in an interview one time, and he said there's three kinds of people. Some people only see the evil and the bad and the negative and everything. Other people, they see the good and the bad. And then there's those people that only see the good and the divine. And so most of us said, well, Swami, probably most of people are in the second category. They see, you know, some things as good and some things as evil. And Swami said, no, actually, most people are in the first category, where they see only evil, and even the good they see as evil. But he said, those that see the good and the evil, they're the mediocre, run-of-the-mill people. But those that see only the good and the divine, those are the ones that are filled with that higher consciousness. So these are spiritual practices that everyone in their situation, their current job, current relationship, current environment, whatever is going down in your life right now, that is what you as a soul have elected as a curriculum to take you where you think you want to go. Now, that doesn't mean you have to suffer abuse, because sometimes the ego is trying to take you down the wrong path. But again, make your life work for you. If you can do something to shift a negative, truly abusive situation, do everything in your power to get yourself from that, because no one deserves to be abused. You don't do anyone any service by allowing them to beat up on you mentally, emotionally, or verbally. Take your body someplace else. You are not deserving of any kind of punishment. Only love. That's what you truly deserve, is love and happiness. God's will for you is to prosper and to be in good health and to be fulfilled, to have the desires of your heart fulfilled, to be happy. Because when you're happy, that means God within you is happy. Does that mean when you're sad, God within you is sad? No, it just means that you're not in touch with that part of you that is divine and eternally happy. It doesn't go away, you're just not in touch with it when you're in your sad story. It never goes away. God is never going to leave you or forsake you. It's impossible. God is part and parcel of who and what you are eternally. But you lose conscious awareness when you get yourself stuck in your small story, in your victim's tale. You know, you go into a downward spiral then. So exercise some spiritual creativity and find ever creative ways to delight yourself, to bring in higher awareness, to create experiences that make you experience the beauty of life, the goodness of life, the joy of life. There's always something that you can import into your heart, into your mind, into your environment that's going to lift your spirits. Become a spiritual scientist and find those things that always lift you. Find those thoughts that you can depend upon that give you a little boost when you need that encouragement. Find those books that particularly stir you up and inspire you. Read the biographies and the stories of the people that you most admire. Watch their DVDs. Gosh, Oprah had the most wonderful program the other night with, Tony Robbins. Oh, it was fabulous. You know, her own channel is now featuring so many wonderful spiritual mastery classes that you can actually sit with some of these wonderful individuals and learn from their life experience just by sitting and watching the programs. I always watch and take notes. I learn so much by watching other people and hearing their stories and testimonies of self-mastery and overcoming. So those are some of the ways that I creatively keep myself juiced up, so to speak. So keep your creative juices flowing. Listen to the most beautiful music you can listen to that gives you shivers. It's so exquisite. Listen and get the artwork and the things around you in your environment that you find particularly edifying and spiritually arousing. It takes some creative exercising to orchestrate and choreograph the elements of your physical life and environment to enhance your awareness spiritually. Yeah, you can generate it on a mountaintop with nothing or in a cave with nothing. But I'm talking about living in the 21st century with traffic and carpools and kids and husbands and, you know, people that you don't necessarily always want to be around. And being in the bliss of God in conscious, integrated, spiritual, creative flow all the time. That is self-mastery. I think we've probably done the caves, we've done the mountaintops, we've done the monasteries, we've done the ashrams, and now our initiatory arena is 21st century world with everything that's in it, without departing from any element of life. If you have to depart from it, you haven't seen the God in it, or you haven't transcended. You haven't transcended it. It's still very much in your face as a reality. But, you know, you can get 10 people to look at something, and they'll all give you different descriptions of what they're seeing based on the level of consciousness they're looking at it from. I love that story of the 5 blind men who came upon an elephant. One of them touched the leg and said, "The elephant is a tree, like a tree." The other man who touched the ear said, "No, it's like a big leaf or a fan." The guy that touched the tail said, "No way, it's like a little twig." The other man who touched the side of the elephant said, "You're all wrong. The elephant's like a big wall." So they were all right, depending on what they were touching and the interpretation that they had formed in their mind about what it was. And life is like that. Everything is what we interpret it to be ourselves, no more and no less. That's what it is to us. But it may be entirely different to someone else. There's a saying that Yogananda came upon a pile of rotting rice one time, and one of the people with him wanted to test his mastery and said, "You say everything is God and everything has the sweetness of God in it, so eat that rice." And so without a second thought, Yogananda scooped it up and all the maggots and rotted rice and put it in his mouth, and remarked that indeed it was filled with the sweetness of divine nectar. See, that's a master. And we all have another degree of mastery. We all have areas that we have already mastered. And we have those that we are in current process of attempting to master. And then we have those levels that are far, far, far beyond us at this present time of our capacity. But that's only in time and space. Within the eternal now, where you've never, in highest truth, left the heart of God, they're already an actuality. They're already yours. But in time and space, we have that time-space element that enables us to choose into the activating and the moving of our inner spiritual awareness to call forward and integrate those stages very consciously, on purpose, and with specific intention. We can only do that from the human level. That's why everyone and their dog is trying to elbow their way into a human incarnation. Yes, those extraterrestrials are so fond of looking up into the sky. Many of them would give anything to have your human incarnation. They may be stuck on a planet where it takes forever to get to where you human beings can get in one lifetime, just because of the challenge that this Earth school provides. You also can grow very rapidly. On the other hand, when you graduate from this Earth school, all the masters in the higher realms elbow their way to get an incarnation on Sirius, because there you can evolve even faster. In fact, that's where the master Jual Kul says that Moses is right now, that he's evolved to the most incredible levels because he graduated from the Earth to Sirius. So, there again, all things are relative, aren't they? But if you want to master yourself, if you want to fully develop multidimensional creative expression and self-mastery, Earth is the place to be. That is the school where you perfect these multidimensional levels of consciousness, expression, manifestation, integration, and all of the above through the human body. Here, it's got to get down and through you, or it can't get to you. So open up and allow that highest divine destiny of which you are capable of integrating in this lifetime, in this very place and moment. Allow it. Full access. Don't resist any part of it. And just receive it as the fullness of the divine spirit that is seeking to source through you and do the most magnificent things that will bring glory to your creator and remind those that see you that God is present. You become like Christ, the very image of the Creator in human form. So, humanity as a whole is advancing at this time as a group initiate. And in that whole, every individual consciousness unit or soul is in process of being tested to determine which level of advancement they will matriculate into. So, do you see how vast and how all-inclusive this divine plan is? And I hope you are aware of how important your individual personal contribution is to the collective. Truly, everything we do has a rippling ramification to the fabric of the totality of human consciousness. The more integrated we are with the higher states of awareness, the more potency and power and effect that we have as creative agencies. So again, you can affect the entire planet from your armchair when you fully integrate who you truly are. And you just allow yourself to be that, and only that. You know, that higher consciousness displaces all of the lower resonant fields in the body-mind-spirit complex. Just like we travel in our Merkaba ships of light. We don't actually travel. We displace the molecules of one dimension with those of a higher dimension. And you do the same thing in that spaceship you call your body. And as a collective, that's what we're doing on planet Earth. We're displacing the molecular vibrations of a third density worldview with those of a fifth dimensional new Earth of living love, where the light of God is in full manifestation through the human instruments. So I really love to speak to you each week about these very, very profound topics. I don't speak about the more mundane things because you can read about them in the newspaper or you can read your latest channeling or whatever. But each of these seminars is a call to you to step forward into your multidimensional mastery and to move into becoming a full conscious co-creator with Divine Source. And that's the message and that's our challenge, you know, is to have the willingness to step into that higher challenge and begin to find our own keys of how to actualize that in our daily life. So let's take a deep breath and chant Anai Hu. Deep breath. To chant that so sweetly as a love song to God and move into that beatitude, that bliss, and allow your spirit to soar in that divine sound current. That is the purest prayer and the purest form of divine adoration until you find that that sound itself begins to sing you and eventually you awaken to yourself as the living word itself. God bless you, and God willing, I will be with you next week. Have a blessed and holy Passover, Resurrection Day, and Easter. God bless you. Adonai.